And we're back with Smart Girl Politics. This is Karen Testerman and another Smart Girl, former Representative Kathy Rago, in studio. And we have Dr. Keith Smith on the line. Dr. Smith runs a surgical center in Oklahoma City, and he and his anesthesiologist partner decided that they were going to run their medical facility without federal funds. Now, Dr. Smith, how does the mandatory sign up for Medicaid and Medicare actually interact with what you're doing?
Well, we don't have anything like that here in Oklahoma. I understand there is some of that up in your neck of the woods, but in Oklahoma, we're not facing anything like that. I dropped out of Medicare in 1994 and have not taken a dime from the government since then. I treated Medicare and Medicaid patients free of charge for a period of time. But when we opened the facility and decided we weren't going to take any federal money, we see very few Medicare patients. But if there were a mandatory sign-up for Medicare or Medicaid, I would see those patients, but I would refuse to file claims because I've got a philosophical problem taking money from my neighbor for care that I'd granted someone across town that they don't even know, who can probably afford it. So I don't know how I'd react to that, but we probably would just do the cases here at our facility and not file any claims.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a federal requirement for you to treat, or that they that they might have any ability to rescind your license or anything like that. So
no, and keep in mind, I mean, what a nightmare. If you're a Medicare beneficiary, do you really want to go see a physician who is treating you at gunpoint? I mean, somebody who doesn't want to see you, I mean, that's the last doctor you want to see.
Well, having also experienced some of the, and I can't even think of what it used to be. It's now TRICARE, but from the military perspective, a lot of times those doctors are the ones who have bid to be on the list, and they're not necessarily the ones you want to go to anyway, as you said.
Yeah, we call TRICARE, try to get care. And I joke that people in Canada, they don't have a right to health care. They have a right to hope for care, because ultimately a lot of them are coming to Oklahoma City. And I know there's a cottage industry of facilities all along the northern border Canadian patients flock to, so if they can buy their way out of line. But all this universal health care is such insanity. I mean, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, how many times do you have to tell people that there is no right to health care because you can't exercise that without violating someone else's right? So in Canada, I really think they have a right to hope for care.
Well, it's very true. I mean, there are an abundance of stories of people who have decided that they were going to take matters into their own hands and come down to America to get that care. And then there's even one, I think, where the lady was going to go, has gone back and is trying to sue the government of Canada because she came back after having the diagnostic test done. And they said, well, because you've gone someplace else and you've tried to jump the line, we're not going to see you for X number of months. Anyway, so it was punitive for her to come down to get that diagnostic done. So
now, there are countless stories like that, and you guys are dealing with insanity right across your border in Vermont. There's an outfit that I would recommend everyone check out called Vermonters for Healthcare Freedom that are pushing back against this Green Mountain Health Board and the insanity in Vermont. But ultimately, as Vermont implements their crazy plan, there won't be any health care in Vermont. It'll be rationed, and then the Vermonters will be paying out of pocket in New Hampshire to come over there and get their health care. So if any physicians are listening, they ought to really think about setting up a facility like we have in New Hampshire, because there will be Vermont refugees coming across the border, I predict, after they implement that plan.
Wow, that gives us something to think about, that's for sure. I was going to ask you, if somebody wanted to go about doing something like that, could they call you or get in touch with you in any way?
Yes, my email address is on our website, if you don't mind me mentioning the website.
Oh, please do.
It's surgerycenterok.com. And my email address is on the website, and I'm getting hundreds of emails every day from people all over the United States who are trying to emulate what we've done. And I would encourage, we didn't do this, you know, thinking that that many patients would take advantage of it. Our primary reason for putting our prices online was that we knew that at $5,000 for a certain procedure, we were profitable. And the big hospital across town, the so-called not-for-profit hospital across town, was charging $50,000. And the insurance companies didn't want anything to do with us. And we know that we give better care here. So we thought, okay, we're better and we're cheaper. What is wrong with this? Is this a cartel? Is this a price-fixing cartel? So that's the primary reason we put our prices online. We had no idea the patients that had really high deductibles, the people who, you know, didn't have any insurance at all, the people from Canada and other parts of the world where people have so-called free health care, we didn't have any idea those people were going to come down here. And I certainly had no idea that this would cause the national stir that it has. And then I'd be, you know, talking to, you know, a couple of folks in New Hampshire on the radio. We had no idea that any of this was going to happen, but it sure has.
Well, it's exciting for you, I'm sure. And it's amazing to me because I think what's happened, and this is another little of one of my stories. I had just a regular routine blood work done, and I stopped off at the local urgent care, which that's why they're there. They have the laboratory there and everything. Well, the bill came through from the insurance company. They charged them $1,000. I ended up paying $226 for it, and I'm sitting there saying, if I paid out of pocket as on a cash basis, that's probably what I would have paid, somewhere around $150.
That's right.
You know, and here they are. And so I'm paying for it anyway, but it's sort of this smoke and mirrors that's going on.
And we don't have time. We don't have time today probably to go into some of the scams, but I would refer people to an article that I wrote called Anatomy of a Cartel. And it shows why the hospitals issued these gigantic bills and how they actually profit from not collecting the amounts that they charge through a scam called the uncompensated care scam. And it also shows how the insurance companies actually make most of their money in an activity called repricing of claims. So if an insurance company has a $100,000 bill from a hospital and they reduce that bill to $20,000, many times they get a percentage of that false $80,000 savings to the employer's health plan. So there are a lot of things that are happening behind the curtain where people are making billions and billions of dollars, and that's why you're scratching your head looking at a $226 payment on a $1,000 bill. Well, the truth is somebody made a percentage of that false $800 savings. So it's very complicated, and there are very smart people that over the years have figured out a way to just fleece the American people using this scam and this collusion between giant hospital groups and the insurance companies. And when I hear people say, well, yeah, you think the free market is such a great thing. Look at the free market healthcare we have in this country. We do not have free market healthcare in this country. This is a horrible setup that, for lack of a better word, is corporatism, or if you could even call it fascism, where government and business have gone back into that smoke-filled room and have worked out all of these deals. And there is, you know, there's no price transparency in healthcare. Well, how can you have a free market without price transparency? So that is why we did what we did. We thought the first thing that has to happen is people have to be able to scratch their head and say, okay, a hernia procedure at this facility is less than $3,000, and a hernia procedure at this facility is $30,000. Are they that much better? How do I compare? And then you buy healthcare the way you buy everything else, looking at a value proposition. But by putting our prices online, I think that, and I know, others are going to and are beginning to follow suit. And that is what I think is the first step in the breakup of this cartel, that this price fixing that is anything but a free market in healthcare, and it's something we're very, very excited to see.
Very definitely. And I was thinking as you were talking about this that you must have a place where you have written some other articles that people might want to read. Is it possible for the public to have access to those articles?
Yes. In fact, I have a blog that I contribute to almost every day that is attached to our website. And it's on Tumblr. It's Surgery Center of Oklahoma, Tumblr.com, or there is a link that says our Tumblr blog on our website. The website again, SurgeryCenterOK.com, and there's a link to my blog there. And we're on Facebook, Surgery Center of Oklahoma, and we have a Twitter account, and I'm responding to much of the media attention that we've had, and I respond to emails, and if there are breakthroughs or big articles in healthcare, particularly like the exchanges, I've written a lot about the healthcare exchanges. My advice to governors all over the nation was that to create an exchange was essentially building your own gallows. And I think that's what it equates to. It's the same with expanding Medicaid. And I think that the state legislators that are inclined to embrace these exchanges and expand Medicaid are under intense pressure from these giant corporate hospitals to do so, because that is how they are going to line their pockets. That is how they are going to get rich. And the right thing to do, the very tough thing for these legislators to do, is to reject every part of this healthcare bill that they can, including Medicaid expansion and exchanges. And I've written extensively about that on my blog, and I encourage people to read the blog and respond to it, and I usually respond to them.
I actually think this is fantastic, and as you're sitting there giving us your sites, I'm writing them all down, because I would like to forward a lot of this information to the current legislators who are facing that same pressure that you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a money game. If you look at the editorials that are written in the newspapers all over the country, the people that are pushing these exchanges and the people that are pushing expanding Medicaid is corporate health care. I mean, they're the people, you know, that are going to benefit from this. Murray Rothbard, the great Austrian economist, you know, his historical method was a question in Latin, cui bono, who benefits? And then when you figure out historically who benefited from an action, then you can usually back into how you got there. And I think that years from now, Rothbard and the Austrian economists will all be vindicated in that this is a vicious action by the state, that just like the National Health Service in Great Britain and in Canada is inevitably going to end in death and euthanasia and involuntary euthanasia. They have this Liverpool care pathway that I would encourage people to get familiar with that the British National Health Service uses, where they've admitted, I mean, they're not even arguing the facts. They're admitting that they are euthanizing 133,000 people a year just to free up hospital beds that they need. So that is rationing and euthanasia, that is all part of a healthcare system that is run by the government, and it's going to look a lot more like the Department of Motor Vehicles than what we have now.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm sitting here thinking we've been blaming the tort system for rising medical prices and so forth, and you're saying that that's not where it really is.
No, that's a distraction, and I say it's a distraction, and a lot of physicians would get angry with me for saying that. It is a component, but it makes people take their eye off the ball, because the real offender is the federal government. the true offender is the federal government, and every single action that the federal government takes in healthcare is meant to line the pockets of corporate healthcare, and people need to keep that in mind. You know, we have this, you know, the Congress and the executive branch dominated by Republicans for years, and they had their chance to make the purchase of health insurance by individuals treated in a tax-wise the same as a business buying insurance, where people could buy health insurance with pre-tax dollars. And they didn't do it. And the reason they didn't do it is that that's really hard on the insurance companies, because the insurance companies would rather issue and be paid for one policy that covers 1,000 employees than to have to write 1,000 employees, and they have to have more brokers on board, and their overhead goes up. So the Republicans are just as much at fault as the Democrats all through the years for all of these favors that they've granted the people in corporate health care. And then in the Unaffordable Care Act, you have this clause which prohibits the building or expansion or development of any physician-owned hospitals. Well, where did that come from? You know, if there's a shortage of access, I mean, wouldn't you want more facilities? But instead, that was a gift to the American Hospital Association and the big corporate healthcare guys to basically ratchet down on their competitors. And that's one way they got them on board.
Well, Dr. Smith, I thank you so much for opening our eyes on this, and I wish you the very best of luck handling all of those inquiries that are coming your way. I hope you're able to still practice while you're doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This is Karen Testerman and Kathy Rega with Smart Girl Politics. And on the line with us is Dr. Keith Smith, who is applying a free market principles to offering surgical procedures to his patients.
You speak to shout, and your style is growing, but it don't know if it's coming or going. There is fashion, there is fat, some is good, some is bad, and the joke is rather sad. That is all just a little bit of history repeating. You just made the shout, and your style is growing, but it don't know if it's coming or going.